Good morning, everyone. So, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, Psalms is a book full of ancient tunes. It's literally all sorts of songs that are lumped together. And there's a collection of songs, Psalms, called the Songs of Ascent. The Songs of Ascent. And that includes Psalm 120 to 134. So ancient travelers would actually sing these songs of ascent together. And in these 15 songs, we basically have a road trip playlist. That's what we have. A collection of their favorite songs to sing as they journey together. Now, in today's technology, it's so very easy to download songs in just a few seconds and have our favorite playlist at the tip of our fingers on all the different electronic devices we have. But it was a whole different game being played back when I was a kid. When I was growing up, you had to work hard to make a playlist. Many of you remember that. I remember I would spend hours making my playlist tapes on my stereo cassette player. And it was supposed to sound professional, like a recording studio in my mind. I would even imagine and daydream that some studio executive would somehow get a hold of my playlist tape and say, "Who made this playlist? This sounds incredible. Someone find this kid. I want to hire him to make these playlists for everyone around the country." So I'd spend all day and listen to the radio and record my favorite songs. And there was a sort of art to it, because you did not want to ruin it and get the voice from the DJ. You didn't want to get the station call letters or hear any junky commercial or anything like that. And then when I would finish making these lists, I would get into the family car, or I would use my Sony Walkman and go on my Schwinn bicycle with the banana seat, and I would have my jams out on the road to sing to. How hard we had to work for our playlist back in the day. But that's what we have here in this section of the Psalms. It's an ancient playlist for the people as they were traveling. This begs the question, where were these people going? I think to answer that, we have to go back near the beginning. So Abraham, the human father of faith, was given all these incredible promises from God. Abraham had faith and he believed in these crazy, impossible words and promises from the Lord. And of course, the Lord delivered on them. Abraham eventually had a family, which was a miracle in itself. And out of that, a whole people, a whole nation came into being, the nation of Israel. And for the Jews, the very center of worship of God was at the city called Jerusalem. It was where the Holy Temple was. Jerusalem was where the Ark of the Covenant was housed at. Jerusalem was where the sacrifices would be brought to worship God, and where the blood of animals was shed for payment or sacrifice for the people's sins. Do you see how all this pointed forward to Christ? Just as we talked about in communion this morning. The Bible is one book with one story about one person. Everything points to Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. So now the Jewish people, they had a lot of special fests and celebrations to worship and honor God. And they had to travel to the holy city of Jerusalem for three of the biggest festivals. So we had the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That celebrates the Passover. Then we had the Feast of Ingathering. That celebrates God's holiness. And then we had what's called the Feast of Booths. Feast of Booths. And that remembers the giving of the law. So the Israelites had to go to Jerusalem for all of these. And they had to walk there, of course, back then. And no matter where they would travel from, They had to go uphill to get to the holy city because Jerusalem was built on a plateau surrounded by hills and mountains. And as they walked to keep their hearts in line with what they were doing, they'd all sing together back and forth. And they'd keep their hearts happy and focused by singing to God these songs of ascent. And Psalm 121 is one of these songs of ascent. It tells us of the record that God guards us. He guards us forever. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. It's 8 verses. Let's start with verse 1. It says, I will lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and who made earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. That's the side of power. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Amen. So the author of this psalm starts by making this statement about lifting their eyes up to the hills. Verse 1 says, I will lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come from? Where does our help come from? Really, in your life, where does your help come from? I think the answer to that depends on where you choose to look when you're in need of help. Where do you look when you need help? But maybe before we answer that, we have to start with, when do we need help? When do we need help? The answer to that is, we needed help yesterday, we need help today, we need help tomorrow, we need help every day. We need help right now as we're sitting in these seats. Every second of every day of our entire lives, we need help from the Lord. We can't do this on our own. We try, don't we? People try to do it on their own, but it does not work. It doesn't work in this life. So by the grace of God, we've been given life, and God not only sustains us, but he redeems our life, and he actually makes our life worth something. Our life is worth something only in the Lord, only from faith in the Lord. That's so important because life is hard. We go through many painful things every single day of our entire life. So do you feel and see that shadow sometimes coming for you? That shadow that makes your future look bleak? Do you feel like there's a situation in your life right now where the dark shadow is just growing and growing? Maybe it's a medical situation. Maybe it's something you're going through with someone in your family. Maybe it's a marriage for you or someone you know that's on the rocks. Maybe you have a damaged relationship to a parent or to a son or daughter or sibling. Maybe it's something at your work or in school. Bottom line, where is the shadow deepening and where is that shadow becoming black? I think if we're honest, we can all relate to this on some level. And if you don't currently have something like this going on, you will. We all have situations that will make us go, where does my help come from? What am I supposed to do now? Where do I go from here? And the Israelites that were making their way to Jerusalem would lift up their eyes and they'd see the hills. You couldn't go to Jerusalem without seeing hills. So let's talk about hills for a moment in regard to this question on the screen. The hills that surrounded Jerusalem symbolized many things. The people knew that lions and bears and other wild animals lived in these mountain hills. And traveling on foot as a family brought a very real danger. They would walk and sleep and eat right there on that trail. And the hills had many crevices and a lot of areas in the rock where one could hide. So there was always a threat from thieves hiding and robbers looking to prey on victims. And then these traveling families had to have money with them for their journey. They had to have food with them. So they were an easy target for criminals to be taken advantage of. And these families that traveled for these festivals did so out of faithfulness and obedience to God because they knew this was not going to be some cakewalk. This was not some quick little safe journey here for these feasts. Here's another thing to consider, another aspect to consider with these travelers. When they would lift their eyes to the hills and to the mountains as they walked, you know what else they saw many times? They saw perverse idols and shrines from all the false gods that many others worshipped. I want you to think about that. These people traveling to Jerusalem for the Lord would see in the hills and in the walls all the rock altars from all the pagan gods. The people against God had the audacity to set up shrines in the rocks that led to the holy city. They did this on purpose. People worshiped these statues in perverse ways, in evil ways. And it was almost like the psalmist here was looking up and asking, where does my help come from? From these man-made things I'm seeing right now? It's almost like he was thinking through his options. Am I going to look to an idol for help right now in this danger? Am I going to look to a false god to get me through this? So back to our lives now, Psalm 121 should resonate with all of us. When you're feeling low and defeated, when you're feeling frustrated and agitated, when you're feeling scared and fearful, when you're feeling left out and unappreciated, what's your go-to false god? What's your go-to false god that you look to? Now you might be saying to yourself, what in the world is Nick talking about? I would never have a false pagan god that I look to. A false god is anything we look to give us what God said he alone is capable of delivering on. My false gods have been sports and food and hobbies and sinful excitement. So when you're feeling stressed, when you feel like you can't handle it anymore, what do you turn to? Do you turn to alcohol, substances, porn, shopping to dull the things that you're frightened of, that you're trying to avoid? When you want to unwind and celebrate, do you turn to social media Do you turn to games or TV shows or movies to help you with that? Some of these things are not bad in themselves, but they can become very unbalanced in our life. And the truth is, all of us can end up making the mistake of looking to the hills, looking to these false gods to help us through something that's causing those shadows to deepen and your future to look bleak. But the author here of Psalm 121 says this, I'm not going to choose to stare at the false god to help me. And I'm not going to stare and keep my eyes focused on the things that I'm afraid of. I'm not going to do it. Remember, these are the hills that have all sorts of danger in them, criminals and bandits and wild animals. So the author says, when I look up to the hills, I choose to look to the Lord. I choose to look to the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. He doesn't look to the hills. He doesn't just look to the mountains. He chooses to keep his eyes focused on the one who made the hills and who made the mountains. There's a big difference there. And that's really the choice that all of us have in this life. Are we going to look at the hills? Are we going to look to the one who made those hills? I've heard that explained as the Goliath principle. Let me tell you about the Goliath principle. King Saul was so afraid of Goliath because Saul lived his life focused on how much taller he was than everyone else. They said Saul was probably about 6'7", 6'8", when everyone else back then was probably 5'5". I probably would have been a giant back in those days. So here's King Saul, close to 7 foot. King Saul thought that his stature was his gift and was his strength from the Lord. But then here comes Goliath, who was much taller than Saul was. And Saul had no answer for that, because now he was threatened by someone that was taller and bigger than he was. And he was paralyzed with fear. And then David comes along, the shepherd boy. And he sees Goliath, and he doesn't see Goliath as someone taller than him or someone that had more power than him, because David's power didn't come from how tall he was. David's power came from how tall God was. So if we look only to the hills, we're going to do one of two things. If we look to the hills, we're either going to look to the false god who cannot help us ever, one iota. Or if we just look to the hills, we're going to look to something that's going to paralyze us and frighten us. But if we choose, if you and I choose to look to the hills and mountains and look above them, then we finally see the one who's bigger than anything and everything. The things that we go up against in this life, they're bigger than us. So much bigger than us. We have to admit that, and then we have to be intentional with that regarding our thoughts and actions and feelings on that. So disease that's taking you or your loved ones out, that's very big, that's very real, that's bigger than you. Divorce that has affected your life or of those you know, that's devastating. That's real. And that's bigger than anything you can handle. Loss and grief and emotional wounds, that's like a 2x4 to your face. That's real. That's something you cannot handle. These things are all big and scary. And if we just focus on them and just get stuck on that problem, we will eventually have to resort to a false god to cope. And this false god, it can distract you for a time, but it will never give you long-lasting peace. And that false god will actually put a disease in your very soul. It will rot you. But if we choose to look above the mountains and above the hills in our life, then we look to the one who's bigger than it all. And that's how the author of Psalm 121 got through this. We don't just want to look to the hills. We look to the one who made the stars and the planets and the galaxy. And once our eyes are focused on God, then verse 3 and 4 says our feet will be firmly planted on him and in him. Verse 3 and 4 of 121 says this. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will not slumber nor sleep. God doesn't fall asleep on the job. God never needs a system reboot. God never needs to turn his phone off to update. You know, so many of us sleep with our phones on our nightstand, and we almost never have a moment where we're unreachable. So many of us don't allow ourselves a chance to breathe and just be quiet and still in God's presence. Instead, here's what we try to do. We try to be God. And we try so hard to frantically keep it all together and to project a certain image to others. Look at how great my home is. Look at how great my kids are. Look at how great my new car looks. Look at how great my job is. And we're desperately trying to project an image onto others. And then we're exhausted to keep up that image. I think it's time we say, wait a second, I don't have to put up a front. I don't have to solve everything that comes my way. I can trust God. He keeps my feet on his foundation. And he never sleeps. He never needs a day off. He never needs to recharge. He never sleeps, so I can. We can have peace and trust in God with that. Verse 5 and 6 talks about God being our shelter. It says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. I love how it actually says that God is your shade. Being out in the scorching direct sun and then going under a nice shade tree, that's an amazing feeling, isn't it, to cool off? God's like that. God is our shelter and our shade. God's with us when we're weak and when we're strong. And that's something we must remember. Satan not only attacks us in our weakness, but he does it where we're strong too. As much as we need God in our weakness, we also need him just as much in our so-called strong areas. Let me go back to David as an example. One of King David's greatest strengths was his passion. He was a fierce and passionate battle-tested warrior and king. But that passion was also his greatest weakness when it was not in surrender or obedience or relationship to God. We saw that with the Uriah-Bathsheba incident. That destroyed David, and it destroyed those around him. Verse 7 then with that is talking about how God will protect our soul from that evil. It says the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Many of us spend so much time taking care of ourselves physically. And that's not a bad thing if we're doing that unto the Lord in a healthy, balanced way. But the single most important thing for us to take care of and watch out for is our spiritual health. And we're called to take inventory of our soul. God wants us to do that. Because if our soul's not well, it doesn't really matter what else is going well. So even if you have lots of money in the bank and all the retirement funds are all in place, even if you're very successful and you're very popular and you have lots of friends, even if you have a very fulfilling and secure job, if your soul's not well, it's going to affect every aspect of your life. That's why God is so concerned about your soul and why he wants to preserve our soul from this evil. God is interested in who you are on the inside. What's in your heart? What's in your soul? And when we turn to God, and when we know who we are in him, then we can start to allow him to nourish our own soul. And he does this for us through daily time with him in his word and scripture, in worship, in prayer, coming together with other believers in church, being a part of small groups, accountability groups. So what I want us to do is take a little honest self-inventory right now. How much time have you given for your soul to thrive? How much time have you given to being alone with the Lord? Would it be as much as all the time you spend on Facebook, or playing games, or on YouTube clicks, or on Amazon Prime shopping? Honestly, how much time this past week have we spent alone with God? This is not meant to shame any of us, but hopefully it inspires us this coming week to plan to do these things for our soul in Christ Jesus. And once we surrender all this to God and let him take care of our soul, then here's what's going to happen also. We'll also be able to take care of other people and lift other people up and help other people, which is what we're called to do as well. If we want to help our family and our friends and the world for Christ, we have to let God work on our soul too. We can't take people where we have not been ourselves. It doesn't work that way. We can't lead anyone down hilly, mountainous areas unless we've walked down them already with the Lord. And then finally, in verse 8, Psalm 121 ends with saying, "The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." Jesus Christ has me. Jesus Christ has you. He's guarding us. He's our bodyguard wherever we go. Always watching out for us. Always moving us toward his plan for our life. His promise is, no matter where you go, no matter what happens to you, he can take care of you. He will take care of you. No matter what happens. Because here's the truth. He guarded and he protected you when you woke up this morning and came here. He will guard you when you leave this church building and go about your business this afternoon. He's going to be guarding you. He's guarding you as you're sitting in your seat right now. He guards you always. There's nowhere you can go where He's not going to guard you. Scripture says that over and over again. So if you're feeling depressed right now, He's got you. If you're feeling great, praise God, He's got you in that. If you feel like you have nowhere else to go, or you feel like you can't hide any longer, praise God, He's got you. Turn to Him. He loves you, He's got His eyes on you, and He has plans for your life. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. He has specific plans for your life right now. God is with us forever. May that be the playlist that's going through our minds when we wake up and when we go to bed. God is with us forever. Let's pray. Lord, forgive me when I try to turn to other things, when I'm bored, when I'm scared, when I'm fearful, when I feel I need to just take a break, and I turn to other things, Lord, and I don't turn to You. Lord, forgive us. Search us on that. Lord, may we not just push that out of our minds and keep trucking through. Lord, may we stop. And Lord, search us on that. And Lord, may we not be afraid for You to search us on that. You know what each one of us needs. You give just the right amount of accountability that each one of us can handle and needs at that moment. Let us not be afraid to come to You. Let us spend alone time with You. Let us spend time in Your Word. Let us spend time being with other people. Lord, we cannot isolate from You and Your people. Forgive us when we do that. Lord, let us know that You are with us forever. Lord, it says even if we make our bed in hell, You don't let go of us. There's nowhere we can go, Lord, where You're not guarding us. You know Your children. So, Lord, I pray that we repent. I pray we come back to You, Lord. And You're there, Lord, not only with open arms, Lord, You've never let go of us in the first place. Thank You, Lord, for being with us always. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You for Psalm 121. May we just live in that today and go to bed fellowshipping with You and searching us. Thank You, Jesus. And we ask all these things in Your holy and loving name. Amen.